Our Bibles, as we make our pledge before Him, say, "This is life. I will honor it today as this word brings life to my spirit." Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, I know you know what's coming up. Thanksgiving, my Lord. Thanksgiving. We know it's always on the Thursday. Is Thanksgiving, a day we've set aside to give thanks to God, not to man, not so much to our government, but for God, to God, for His blessings upon our lives and families and our country. That's what we're here to do. Amen. We do want to welcome everyone here today. We want to welcome everyone that is watching by Facebook, YouTube. We pray the Spirit of God to be upon your heart and upon your life. And people, look, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would we be? Amen. The grace of God. You know, it keeps rolling in my spirit that He died, Jesus died, upon Calvary's cross for every person that's upon this earth. Everyone, no matter what color, no matter how tall, no matter how short, thank you, Lord, no matter what color hair or it's turning into, whatever it is, you know, God, in His infinite grace and mercy and grace, His grace, unmerited favor towards an undeserving people. Unmerited, that means there's nothing we could do to win it or to gain it. Towards an undeserving people, which we were. But God's grace has given us life and liberty and love towards us. You know, the first Thanksgiving in America was a cold winter. Sickness had claimed the lives of many people, but God encouraged them with a good harvest, and it was a time to give thanks unto God. Amen. You know, just as the pilgrims and them came across and they settled into a new land. I've heard this story, you know, they came seeking God. And that was the difference in seeking Him. And they didn't know that many people would die upon the ships that would come. Many fell sick and died and passed away. They didn't realize once they came in to the land, the cold, you know, no harvest, but God was still there with them. And they still, in the end, God gave them a harvest. They don't think from reading things that maybe there was turkey at the first Thanksgiving, but that's okay. But whatever they had, from the corn to whatever they grew, what they did was they gave thanks. And you know what? We could learn a lesson. Even through hardships, people, even through heartache and pain and suffering that they went through, they gave thanks to their God, Jesus Christ, the Father. We as Christians, even though we've been saved by grace, have given our lives to Him, you know, we've gone through some heartaches. That's life. You know, number one, death is not easy. Even though we know God, even though we know they're with Him, it's not easy upon the heart. Not easy upon the heart. But also, you know, just the pain and the agony of life. Things we go through. You know, the bruises of life. They sought God. They wanted a new land where they could live their lives in freedom and liberty. Yet they had to go through the heartaches to find what they wanted, to find a place where they could be free and live a life according to His word, where they could lift up God and have God in the center of their lives, from outwardly in public to inwardly into their homes. And that's just like our Christian lives, people. Look, gets rough out there sometimes, huh? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Okay. It does, huh? Life is sometimes hard, but let me tell you this. There's a difference with Christians because we have the Christ part of Him living in us. Things may get rough, but let me tell you this. He is the one that can calm the seas. He is the one that can help make a way where there seems to be no way. I wonder, as people were dying, what they thought of the frost and the cold, so cold that God would send people their way to help them to know what to plant, how to plant it, and to have a harvest. And when they had that harvest, they could have forgot about God. As some Christians do, when things get good, everything's okay and everything's... But we don't want to forget God. They didn't. And they looked to God as they gave their lives to them, as they gave the first fruits of their labor towards their God, knowing that He would help them through the next year and the next year and the next year. My God, don't ever give up. Don't give up, even though when the waters are rising up, even though when the storms are rising up, you don't give up on God. Because we don't know if the miracles are right around the corner of what God can do.
Amen.
We serve a great God, a God that can do all things, a God that can make the impossible possible by what He did at Calvary's cross. We serve a God that loves us, that cares about us, and wants what is best for you. Remember, when Jesus was on that cross, and they nailed His hands and His feet, and they pierced His side. They put a fake crown of thorns that were 2 and 3 inches long and forced it upon His head. As He was on that cross, He could have called legions of angels to come if He wanted to. Honestly, this is what I'm thinking, okay? If He would have even thought of it, it would have happened. But He said this, I have to stay so I can be the mediator between my Father and the people. His mission was to die. Our mission is to die to self so God can be glorified in us and through us. And let me tell you this, it's not easy to die to self. Because you just want to rise up and say, hey, hold on here. Unless the... hold on. I want to say a little something here. The word says be swift to right. Be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Because how many of us have said things in anger? Because you get mad. Hey, look. Offenses happen, huh? It's hard. It hurts the soul. It hurts. You know, like when you bruise yourself? And the older you get, the worse it is. You just got to look at the chair and you get a bruise almost, you know? Years ago, before being a youngster, you could hit everything in the hallway and hit every chair under the table or whatever, and you never got a bruise that much. But the older you get, bruises happen, people. And how long does a bruise stay? A long time. It turns colors, but there's the healing process that is happening. Offenses will come. Things will happen. But this is what you do. You stay before the Father. You stay before Him and you keep giving it to Him. Even though you say, just keep giving it. Just keep giving it. Because what the devil's trying to do is plant things in your heart and my heart that are not good. Seeds that will grow, plants that will grow, trees that will grow, that will not bring glory and praise to God. And so we got to hit that thing swiftly. that we don't allow those things. Now, we can't stop everything from coming our way, but we can stop what we do with it. Remember, we're not lords over people. God has not given us authority over people to pray against some things, but God has given us authority and power over the evil spirits of the world. That we can do. God says he's given us authority and power. But we need to be, think of the things this past year, and I know it's not January yet, but that's okay. We're talking about Thanksgiving. Think of all the things this last year that you could be thankful for. I mean, you know, down from our families, down from, you know, the food that we have, the jobs, the clothes that we have. You know, not one of us, and I know this is truth, not one of us has one shirt and one pants. I know that. Because that means your closet would be empty right now. This is what we got. We look in it and we push this to force another white shirt, even though you have 10 of them. And there's nothing wrong with stuff. There's nothing, just so stuff doesn't have your heart. Okay? Just so it doesn't grab your heart. You see, because it says the love of money. The love of money's not wrong, it's the love of it. The love of possessions. The love of things, you know, that can hurt and hinder your heart. But to be thankful to the Lord for what he's given to you. You know, we you know, you might say, well, I can't think of much. Well, you know, let's think 2,000 years ago, what he did on the cross for you and I. That's thankfulness. A God that did not have to do it, but a God that loves you and I and says, I want fellowship with them. I want them to be able to come to the throne of grace, to give their petitions to me, to praise me and honor me with nothing in between us. Amen. As the blood brings back that relationship. Now look at this, being on thankfulness. I want you to turn, if you would, to Psalms 100, please. Psalms 100. The book of Psalms is really a book of, it was songs, but book of Psalms is a book of songs that were sang unto the Lord. Written a lot by David, but there were other authors too in most of the latter part of the Psalms. But look at Psalms chapter 100, starting with verse 1. It says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Here we see God is saying, be thankful. You know, in verse 3, it says, know you that the Lord, he is God. Reasons to give thanks. Reasons to give thanks. Number one, he is our God. Thank God he is your God. That, you know, we serve the God of Israel. We serve the mighty God. We serve the God that split the Red Sea. We serve the God that destroyed nations and raised up men and women to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. We serve a God that has healed people. We serve a God that turned bitter water into sweet water. My God. We serve a God that took care of the needs of the Israelites when he brought them out of Egypt, out of bondage. That should play a role in your heart and in my life too. That He will take care of His people no matter what. As we follow His word, He will take care of us no matter what. No matter what's going on. No matter what the economy is in the world. Our God owns a cattle on a thousand hills. My God! Nothing can hold Him back from doing what He wants to do. He is our God. He is your God. He created you, your life. You're not an accident. You have been created by God. Maybe your parents let you down for whatever reasons, you know, whatever. But let me tell you this. God has you in the midst of His hands. He wants the best for you. He's looking at you, wanting to do what needs to be done in your heart and in your life. He is your God. We need to thank Him. He is our God. Amen. Thank Him, for He is your God that will supply all your needs and wants and desires according to His word. He has made us. He gave us life. He made us. That's the second part of that verse. It is He who has made us. He made you. He loves you. You are important to Him. The world might think, oh, you're nothing. But let me tell you this. It doesn't matter what the world says. And it really doesn't matter what the church says. It doesn't matter what your parents have said. It doesn't matter what your children have said. It doesn't matter what friends have said so much. Unless it's good. But let me tell you this. God has made you. You are a work of God. The way you look, whatever color hair you have, whatever color eyes, whatever nationality, God has made you. You're important to Him. He loves you and cares about you. We're important to God. Thank you, Lord. He's made you. Look at this. Also, we are His people. My God. And not ourselves, but we are His people. Wow. We are a child of God. Yes. Are His people. Thank God. Reasons to be thankful for, because we are His people. Because He made us. Because He is our God. And also number four, because we are the sheep of His pasture. Yes. He's the great shepherd. He's the great. And you know, His people know His voice, it says. I heard this story and I thought, wow, never thought of that. There was a guy that went to Israel. And he went to this restaurant and he was just eating with a group of other people. And he noticed in the pastures, we don't see shepherds, you know. People, local people might have some sheep and, you know, and all, you know, whatever. But a shepherd of hundreds of sheep. And he said he just happened to look and there was a whale out there. And he noticed that there were three shepherds coming from three different, like north, south, east, or west, you know, whatever. Three different directions. And they were coming all to the water hole. And the shepherds would get the water and all three of them and give the water to the sheep so they could drink and all that stuff. And he said, I just kept watching because he said it went through my mind. All three of them at the same well with all the water, all mixing of the sheep. How are they going to separate all these sheep? I mean, you know what I'm saying? You know, just to, how are they going to do it? And he said, as I'm eating, it amazes me. I'm looking to see what's going to happen. Now, he said, I can't hear them, but I could see them. And he said, all of a sudden, the shepherds put up their staff and they say something. And all of a sudden, all three of the shepherds start walking in whatever directions they came from. And all of a sudden, every sheep that belonged to the first one, the second one, and the third one started to line up and go with that shepherd. My people know my voice. Amen. The shepherd's voice. Yes. the shepherd's voice. And what the enemy tries to do is make things so cluttered that we can't hear the shepherd's voice. And all three of them, after they started to spread and they were gone, I didn't see not one shepherd come back, stop his sheep, take one, and bring it to the other shepherd. Didn't happen. Every one of them lined up with their shepherd. We need to line up with our shepherd. We are the sheep of his pasture. We need to thank God that our shepherd is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That he leads us beside the still waters. He leads us in paths of righteousness. He leads us in ways that will help us. That he's not out there beating the sheep. You never see a shepherd. And that's one point he said, and I thought that was interesting. You never see a shepherd beating the sheep with that rod. The rod is a form of authority. And the rod is saying, let's go, we're going. And they come. And it talks about when one sheep goes astray, what he does. He goes and he gets him. And what does he? He breaks one of the legs and puts it over his shoulder. And that's so that sheep will know the heartbeat of the shepherd. And that sheep has to stay there as they're walking during the day, you know, till that leg heals up. But that sheep will never go astray again. Because out there are the wolves. They are trying to devour the sheep. So we need to thank God that we are the sheep of his pasture. He is our shepherd. And he takes care of us. He leads us and guides us and helps us in our time of need. He gives us what we need. He shows us paths of righteousness. He's a great deliverer. He's the great God that delivers his people. My God, as we trust in him. Reasons to give thanks. Reasons to give thanks. Great times of thanksgiving. In Exodus, we see Israel thanking God for his deliverance. In 2 Chronicles chapter 5, we see thanksgiving of the dedication of the temple. And also we see the feast at the first Thanksgiving in America. I know you might say, Pastor, have we lost our way? Maybe for the most part we have. I don't know. In America. But I think God is drawing back the people. Because they see there's no hope without God. There's no peace. Money cannot solve things. Only God can change the hearts of people and do a mighty work. Only God. Only God. I think he's drawing back the church, drawing back the people, because it all comes down to the people. If my people will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, I will come in and I will heal their land. My Lord, we need a touch from God and we need a healing of our land. We need God to touch our land. Touch the land. We need physically to touch the land and to touch the lands of the hearts of our government. To touch the land of the hearts of our people in every which way possible. And it all depends upon the church and what they will do in revival. A revival will set people free and do a mighty work. I want you to turn to Psalms 103, please. Just one page over, basically, 979 is the page. It says, starting with verse 1, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Hallelujah. he received. Forget not his benefits. Be thankful for the things that God is doing. But don't forget his benefits. My Lord. Don't forget what he wants to do. He redeems our life from destruction. He crowns us with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so your youth is renewed like the eagles. My God, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all the things that he has done and will do for us. We need to be thankful. And I'll be more thankful than what we are, honestly. To really be thankful, thanking God for all that he's done for us and given us and has redeemed us from. Given us life and liberty and all the things that he's done in our hearts and in our lives. The Bible calls us to be thankful unto him. What a thankful heart can do for us, it brings the peace of God. It makes us positive, praising person, enables us to experience contentment. My God, David starts counting his blessings. That's David that's writing this. Now, you know, you talk about David. King David. King David, we know, made a mistake. Well, I mean, you know, he had a man killed, had a baby out of wedlock. I mean, just all kinds of stuff. God can take something wrong and make it right. Wow. There's no one like him. You might say, Pastor, I've done this, I've done that, I've done this. Look, okay. Make a change. Trust in him. Dedicate your life to him. Make a change, a positive change. A positive change. Saying, you know, just David did wrong. He did wrong. And he was called to the carpet. Look, the prophet, when God sends a prophet to your house, when God sends the Holy Spirit to your house, when God opens up his word and you read something and conviction comes across your heart and your life, that's powerful. You let God work. You might say, well, Pastor, it's hard for me to change. I understand. Some things are, but God says some things are right and some things are wrong. And we got to follow what the scripture says. And when we follow what the scripture says, the power of Almighty God is upon our hearts and lives. The power of Almighty God. David, it's okay. David made some mistakes, but I tell you what, David was the one that said, don't forget his benefits. Don't forget his blessings. Don't forget what he can do in your heart and life as you obey him and pursue him. My God, be thankful for the things that he's given you. Look to him. Thank him for the many blessings, the power of his spirit upon your heart and upon your life. How thankful or unthankful the children of Israel were. They had just come out of Egypt miraculously. The greatest power upon the earth ever at that time. Ever. They had military strength. They had the men. They had the power. They had the horsemen. They had the chariots. They had everything. And they had the children of Israel that had the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It took many plagues to come, but they let them go because of God. And let me tell you this, the devil will try to make you stay in bondage to certain one thing. But let me tell you this, God can break that bondage no matter what. It may take some struggling. It may take some work. Not that you have to do all kinds. But I tell you what, God can break the chains of bondage because it was paid for 2,000 years ago. God's people don't have to live in bondage to any sin or any evil at all. You might say, what? God has redeemed the church. God has redeemed people by the blood of the Lamb. 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 The great Lamb, Jesus Christ. You can have liberty. You can have freedom. You can have freedom in your mind. You can have freedom in your heart. God can heal those bruised areas of your life because of what He did, what He has done upon Calvary's cross, the power of Almighty God. You know what David did? To say it this way, he got on his knees and said, Father, forgive me. Forgive me. Let me tell you this. That's what the enemy doesn't want you and I to do. But I tell you what, you are the most powerful when you're on your knees before God, or a humble state before God. Knees just means humbling yourself. That's when you're the most powerful. I know you might think I'm the most vulnerable, but not so. You're the most powerful there because you're yielding your heart. You're yielding your life. You're thanking God for what He's done in your heart and life. But you're yielding everything to Him and saying, Your will be done in my heart and in my life. And let me tell you, the enemy doesn't like it. He doesn't like the church to yield. He doesn't like families to yield under the power of God. He wants us to buck the system, but we can't buck God anymore. You know, it's like, oh no, like the guards or the horses or the oxen, they'd put little pieces of metal so that they couldn't back up, and it would go with in their buttocks, if you want to say it that way, and they would go forward, so they would stay going forward. God wants us to stay going forward no matter what. Don't turn back. Don't look back. What did Lot's wife do? She turned. When God told them, don't turn back. She was coming out of bondage. The city was about to be destroyed. And she turned back and looked. You know why she turned? This is just what I think. That's where her heart was at. Turn. Keep your heart towards God. Things may get rough, but keep your heart towards God. Pursue Him. Pursue Him. Pursue Him. Pursue Him. Pursue Him. No matter what. No matter what comes your way. No matter what horrible thing may happen tomorrow, the next day, or the next year. You keep your heart towards Him, pursuing Him, thanking Him for who He is. If the children of Israel can come out of Egypt, we can come out of Egypt too. Because anything that holds you and I in bondage is a type of Egypt to us. And we can let those things go because God can break those bondages. God is all powerful. My God, He can do it. He did it 2,000 years ago. The process started and was accomplished. It just needs to be manifested in our hearts and in our lives. The power of Almighty God. Letting Him move through us. Letting Him do the mighty work as we yield and thank Him for who He is. Just think what would have happened if Lot's wife wouldn't have turned around. We'd have a different story. As she turned, what did she turn into? A pillar of salt. That's what happens when we turn back to our old evil ways, our evil intentions. Not knowingly sometimes, but we turn back and look. Because you see, the children of Israel started to complain to Moses and all of them about, man, we had leeks and garlic to eat. And I mean, whoever ate leeks and garlic like that? I mean, that's not prime rib or anything. You know what I'm talking about? But they were complaining. because they had manna, fresh bread every day. Every day. They said, they think, and I know I told you that it was like a little wafer with a little bit of honey in it that would hover over the earth about 2 or 3 inches so that it would not get dirty. And they would go out and they'd gather everything they wanted for the day. Except that 6th day, they gathered 2 days' supply. As they obey God's word, God would move upon them. If anybody tried to get 2 days' worth during the week, what happened to it? It turned into worms. See, that's what happens, people. We don't, you know, we think, well, I can do what I want to do. No, you can't. When we gave our lives to Him, we denounced self. Amen. Supposed to, anyway. Yeah. Hey, we denounced self and we're saying, I cannot do those things that God says is wrong. Because He knows what will happen. He knows what will go on in our hearts and lives. And so we got to do everything we can as the Spirit of God works in our hearts. And look, as a pastor, and I'm not looking for perfection by far, because no one's perfect. There was only one, and He died on the cross. That's the only one. But we need to let the Spirit of God work in us. Letting Him take out those things that need to be taken out. And letting Him put back those things that are good according to His word. And as you read something and it says it's not right, don't do it. If it says it's right, you do it. To me, yes, it is simple. And man makes it complicated. Religion makes it complicated. Yes. Huh? You have to do this. Why not just open the word and read and see what the Spirit of God says? Yes. What was that?
Religion makes things.
You got it. Religion makes things impossible to do. But because you will always fail. There's no way. There's always a failure. But with God, as you humble yourself before Him, and you come and look, not perfection, but thanking Him for who He is. Amen. Father, I thank You. I know I'm not perfect, but Lord, lead me and guide me. You know, leading guide, and help in all areas. Leading God, no matter what. And as you get up and you read that word, you say, Lord, thank You. Because when somebody says something not good to you, we want to retaliate, huh? And we go, and the mind goes back to that verse, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Okay, Lord. Hear, be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. And that's not an easy one, huh? That's not easy. Look. I'm not telling you it's easy. Oh. But I tell you what. It says that what? No man can tame the tongue. You can't. You got it. No one can tame the tongue. But the Holy Spirit can. It takes a bigger woman or man. When somebody says something, it bruises your heart and you just walk away. Not that you don't want to settle things right there, huh? You want the fivefold ministry of a fist to come out, show them a few things, make some bruises here or there on their face, knock out a few teeth, knock them down, then pray for them. Okay, Lord, raise them up. In due time, let him be out for a little while I get away. It takes a bigger man or woman to stand up. I say, Lord, I don't understand this. I have to walk away. and let the Spirit of God move. You see, we don't realize how much the Spirit of God works in us. We are workmanships unto Him. Oh, people, we're valuable. Not to the world. The world says we're in the way. But God says, and what God says is totally different. And we stand upon His word. What God says. You never know. God says to be instant, in season or out of season. At work, oh Lord, I'm going to give you a story about work here. When we go on break, the city carriers go on break. There's a break room that a few of us go in, and there's another little area that some other ones go in. And it's okay. Well, during the week, three of us walk out, and I'm walking out, and one of them says, Joe. I said, yes. You going to give us a sermon? I said, what? Give us a little sermon, a mini sermon. And I said, oh, and I kind of walked a little further. And they said, oh, yeah, give us a sermon. I said, okay. I said, look up, be watchful, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. You could have sworn everything stopped in the world. I mean, and I walked to my case, and a few of them came. They said, man, that was good. Well, that's the Spirit of God. You see, you know, you don't think of things till you're on that spot when God gives you what you need. He gives it what you need. That's God, people. Just thank Him, but He gives you what you need at the right time. You might say, well, how can I do that? Don't worry about all kinds of stuff. You know, He gives you what you need at the right time. You know. You may say, well, Pastor, do you prepare? Oh, look, I'll prepare. I have so much stuff written down. More than you could stay till 5 o'clock tonight. Saying, Pastor, I think I'm a little hungry. Order pizza. No. But you see, some just go and just do whatever. And no, I don't like that. I want to know and be prepared and let God do what He needs to do to intertwine these things. But people, I know Thanksgiving's coming up Thursday. Some of you, it might be a hard day because maybe you might not be with family. You might not be with whoever you'd like to be with. But always remember this. God loves you. He cares about you. And you're worth a lot. You're worth a lot. Celebrate Thursday. However, if you got to go by yourself, go eat somewhere or whatever, go do it. It doesn't matter. Go to the store, buy something, cook for yourself. And you say, Lord, thank you. Whatever you're going to do. Next year will be different, Lord. And you let God work. 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 But I tell you what, Jelaine and I, we want to wish you a very, very happy Thanksgiving. When you get up that morning, the first thing you ought to do, maybe, is just say, thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you for my pastor. Yes, for sure. The second one, thank you for my pastor. The third one, Lord, thank you again for my pastor. No. Pastor's wife, pastor's children, no. Yes, I know y'all are. And I'm just making light and joke. But, you know, just thank God for thank God for who He is. Thank God for what you have. Because it can be taken away in an instant. In a blink of an eye, like Job. It could be taken away, but for God. Thank Him for your spouse, your children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. Go down the line. Just thank, you know, just thank Him for your church, the people, family, friends, and all the things that God has given you. Look at How do you look at the glass? Is it half empty or half full? What are you going to concentrate on? You can have the greatest day Thursday, or you can have the worst, lousy day in how you look at it. Huh? Get up saying, thank you, Lord. Hey, prepare Wednesday for your food and whatever you got to do. Get it ready. Cook for yourself. If you're the only one, that's okay. That's okay. But look at it saying, hey, half empty or half full, what it is. And you thank God for what you have. And what he's going to do in you and through you. My God. Amen. Amen. I appreciate you guys. I thank God for you. And we love you. We love you guys so much. Amen. Why don't you stand, please? Thank you.